As far as the Anbiya alayhi salam are concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent out 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. Of the 124,000 Anbiya, which include the Nabi and the Rasul, which I have explained, I have given the definitions of the Nabi and the Rasul, the parallels and the definition and the differentiating qualities.
Right.
Also, there are 313 Rasuls. And this figure 313, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it. There were 313 Sahabas who took part in the Battle of Badr, 313 who were in the army of against Jalut, against Goliath, with Hazrat Dawood. And also there will be 313 who will take immediate bath, to take allegiance to Mahdi when he comes. Now, from the 313, we stated there are five Ulil Azam Anbiya. Five Ulil Azam Anbiya.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume you say four because obviously above the four is the Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam five. So the five we talk of is Hazrat Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam, Hazrat Nuh Alayhi Salaam, Hazrat Musa Alayhi Salaam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, that's the four, and Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the fifth. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He differentiates this, that all the Anbiya are equal as far as Nabuwat and Prophethood is concerned and Risalat is concerned, but there are some who got higher status than the others. For example, we say Isa Ruhullah, Musa Kalimullah, Ibrahim Khalilullah, and Nuh alayhi salam, we refer to him, the one who was on the ark. And also, many people don't know that Hazrat Shuaib alayhi salam is classified as the orator Nabi of the amongst the Anbiya. And Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam is classified as the king Nabi amongst the Anbiya. However, the four, Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, they are termed as Ulil Azam because they, compared to all the other Anbiya alayhi salam, they were very firm, they were resolute, they were steadfast, they were patient, persevering. Now, it doesn't mean that the other Anbiya were not so. What it means that these qualities which I've just mentioned about sabr, patience, perseverance, firmness in Tawheed, preaching, propagating, they were doing this with such conviction, and they were tried in it also. And they were tried compared to other Anbiya alayhi salam much more. Other Anbiya alayhi salam, they were tried, but these four and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were tried to a greater extent, to a greater level, to a greater degree. So that is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam in one hadith has stated that all the difficulties of all the other Anbiya alayhi salam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam underwent. So by stating this, that makes Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam the chief of the Anbiya, the head of the Anbiya, the super guide of all the Anbiya alayhi salam, most superior amongst all the Anbiya alayhi salam. But when you now study individually the life of Nuh alayhi salam, how he was preaching to his public, individually, collectively, secretly, privately, in the day, in the night, in the gathering, and going to them and pleading with them, talking to them about Tawheed, and what they were responding. They were laughing at him, jeering at him, mocking at him, and they were putting their fingers in their ears, not trying to listen to him. They were taking the shawls, covering their heads up. Then eventually when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Nuh alayhi salam build the ark, and Nuh alayhi salam built the ark, and these people, his nation and tribe, began to laugh and mock at him and tell him, listen, you've gone mad, or you've gone crazy, or you've gone insane, that you're building such a huge ark. Where are you going to sail it? Where is the water? We thought you were mad. Now we're really sure that you are crazy, because prior to this, when you were preaching to us, we knew there's something wrong with you. But now you're building the ark, now we definitely know that something's going wrong. And they keep mocking at him. There's long events that transpired about how they meshed his ark, etc. So but Nuh alayhi salam, patiently, with the help of Allah, he persevered, firmly, resolute, did not waver at all, and did not succumb to their jeering or mocking. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala classified him amongst the ulil amr. Now when you look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, that when you look at Ibrahim alayhi salam's history, and closest historical events between any Nabi and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Many times Ibrahim alayhi salam made hijrat for the sake of Allah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam did similarly. Went to Taif, Sahaba went to Abyssinia, Ethiopia for twice, and then Sahaba went away to Madina, followed by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you look at the history of Ibrahim alayhi salam, from Makkatul Mukarrama, using it as a headquarters, going to Syria and back, going to Iraq and back, going to what was the term as Khorasan and back, and repeatedly going, making sacrifice. When he was in the area near Turkey, then confronted by Nimroz, and eventually Nimroz threw him into the fire. So if you look at it carefully, that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was even tested, tried by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he came out in flying colors, passed all these various tests and trials and tribulations. Can you hear me clearly, Yusuf?
Yes, you're quite clear now, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam, when you look, when he returned from that trial of Nimroz, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed that fire, that Ya Naru Kuni Baradan Wasalamun Ala Ibrahim, that all fire become cool and a place of comfort and peace for Ibrahim alayhi salam. After that, you remember the incident when he broke the idols, and his father and all, his father, they tried to punish him. However, coming back, he came to Mecca. Then he had Ismail alayhi salam, his son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him via a dream that sacrificed his son. So if you look at all the various trials, tribulations, and the tests that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam went through, then one would conclude that he was very firm, very strong, he persevered, patient. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him ulul azam Nabi. Now when we look at Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, quickly I'm going through the history so to explain to our listeners that why are they distinguished from all the other Anbiya alayhi salam. When we look at Musa alayhi salam, that growing up, first of all his birth, that he is born in the year when Firaun decides to kill all the boy babies. It's very interesting that Firaun had a dream which his soothsayers and astrologers interpreted that there is going to be a boy, is going to be born, and he's going to take over your kingdom. So Firaun initially what he did, he issued a proclamation that kill all babies. Then later his ministers told him that Firaun, if you kill all the Bani Israel boy babies, who is going to work and labor and slog for you and task for you? So he said, okay, what's your suggestion? They told him, no, 1 year we will leave them and 1 year we'll kill them. So Harun alayhi salam was born in the year where Firaun's so-called amnesty was prevalent. So Harun alayhi salam was born in the year where the boy babies were allowed to live. But Allah Ta'ala let Musa alayhi salam be born in the year where there was no amnesty, and Firaun was killing the boy babies. So, and you know the whole incident that Musa alayhi salam was put in the water, in the casket by his mother, followed by his sister, eventually came back to Musa alayhi salam's mother for upbringing and for breastfeeding. Later, Musa alayhi salam now grew up in the king in the palace of Firaun. After that, when Musa alayhi salam aided one of his members and resulted in a death, And the next day also there was a difficulty. Then Musa alayhi salam decided to leave that place. And he went to Madian, to Hazrat Shuaib alayhi salam. There he worked for him for 10 years and married one of his daughters, came back to Firaun, preached Tawheed to him. Immediately now the difficulty starts. That Firaun says that Musa alayhi salam is a magician. And Musa alayhi salam is mesmerizing people. And Musa alayhi salam is misleading people. And Musa alayhi salam wants to unjustly take away the Bani Israel. So Musa alayhi salam, alhamdulillah, displays the 9 miracles afforded to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then takes the Bani Israel out of that place, out of Egypt. Takes them towards the Sinai. And they're pursued by Firaun and his army and military might. Firaun drowns, Musa alayhi salam is saved. And Musa alayhi salam also gets into difficulty with the Bani Israel, who are not so patient and troublesome, transgression, disobedience. One, I'll give you an example, that when Musa alayhi salam was crossing the waters, some say it is the Nile, some say it is the Red Sea, whatever it be, that when he was crossing that and putting the Bani Israel in the waters, the Bani Israel told him that Musa alayhi salam, oh Musa, we want 12 roads. So he prayed to Allah and 12 roads came. So each tribe took his road and started crossing the river. Then the one tribe told Musa alayhi salam that, oh Musa, we are going through here, this road. What about the other tribes? They were all the time questioning, troubling him. So he made dua to Allah, Ya Allah, let them see the other tribes. So certain the Mufassirin, commentators of Quran, say that by the miracle of Allah, there were windows in the water, so each tribe could see the other tribe. And when they crossed over, then they began to be disobedient to Musa alayhi salam. When Musa alayhi salam went to the mountain, they followed Samari and they began to worship the cow, the calf. On the instructions of Samari, and became disobedient, did not even listen to Musa alayhi salam's brother Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. After that, they were put into the deep valley for 40 years, where they should walk in the morning and wander around. And until evening came, they came back to the spot. So constantly they were troubling Musa alayhi salam, but Musa alayhi salam was firm, resolute, extremely patient, persevering. That's why Allah Ta'ala made him one of the Ulil Azam Anbiya alayhi salam. Now when you look at Isa alayhi salam, from birth Isa alayhi salam, the people around him began to harass him and harass his mother Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. As a result, that eventually when he began to get popularity, so as to say, and began to get fame, then the Jews of the area decided, no, we'll have to get rid of him, because they wanted to separate the state from the religion. So they went to the current ruler, Pontius Pilate, and they told him that you better take stock of Isa alayhi salam, as well, sooner or later he's going to take over your kingdom, he's going to take over your country. He's going to take over all your power and glory and your seat. So they eventually decided, no, we have to go to Isa alayhi salam and apprehend him, arrest him, and in their eyes they wanted to crucify him. And the actual story goes that what they term as the Last Supper. So I would like to narrate this because this will help us to understand the other question that you have posed about Isa alayhi salam. And also, from now when I start addressing this issue of Isa alayhi salam, I will appeal to our Christian brethren that they listen carefully and understand our stand on Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, who they call Jesus Christ.
Right. Just before you go on to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, I mean, that's going to be quite lengthy as well. There's a caller who's posed a question, and they say that what about Lut alayhi salam? He was also troubled a lot, and his wife also plotted against him in various ways. Why isn't he amongst those Nabis?
Yes, the First of all, we got a clear ayat of Quran. These four names have been mentioned in a clear ayat of Quran. That is why they have been termed Ulul Azam Anbiya alayhi salam. And when Allah Ta'ala has specified them in an ayat, then we accept it as a text proving and denoting to their being resolute, firm Anbiya alayhi salam. No doubt what the caller has said, that all makes sense. But when you look at it pro rata, that's why they narrated many incidents where they were troubled. And Lut alayhi salam, that he was troubled by his people, but when we look at it, as I mentioned in the earlier, pro rata, when you look at it, at the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salam, then pro rata, these five Anbiya alayhi salam, they were troubled, harassed, put unto undue duress, difficulties from their tribes and nations and public, compared to the other Anbiya alayhi salam's nation.
Yes. Mufti Sahab, there's also another concern of the parents, on the parents of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How should we refer to them? Because according to some narrations, they were on the millet of Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Concerning the parentage of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the scholars of Islam, and if you can check up to our Rahimiyah, they quote Abu Hanifa, Rahimahullah, etc., that we should remain silent and we should not express our opinion categorically about that. And this silent view is the cautious, better view to take.
Right. What is up further to that question on the parents of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when referring to them, how should we refer to them, as Hazrat or radiallahu ta'ala an, or how should we do it?
In fact, concerning how to address, as a general rule, let us take it from right top, that the Anbiya alayhi salam, we say alayhi salam, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we can use this word sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for any other Nabi also.
Yes.
That's permissible.
Yes.
For Sahaba, we generally say radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, Hazrat Maryam, the wife, the mother of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, we say Hazrat Maryam, but generally the people say alayhi salam. But we're supposed to be saying radiallahu ta'ala anha.
Because it's female.
No, alayhi salam is specified for Anbiya.
Right.
And Maryam is a female, and there was no female Nabi.
Right.
So when there's no female Nabi, so Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha.
Okay.
The wife of Firaun, Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the mother of Musa, etc. When we know the names of the pious females, then they go radiallahu ta'ala anha. As far as the mother and father of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be absolutely permissible to use the word Hazrat before them.
Okay. Mustafa, I think the question on Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, we probably would need about half an hour for you to elaborate on.
Yes.
Maybe I should just jump one further than that, and we can touch on Hazrat Isa alayhi salam in our next program next week.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
No problem.
But we have a question here which says that we started the series 3 weeks ago. Why did we not discuss in the beginning of the series why should we only believe in one Allah? Or rather, that we bring belief that there is only one Allah. Why wasn't that the top priority and we started off with Anbiya?
I explained this in one of our sessions, that why I took this route. And I also mentioned, and I will reiterate, that all the books which we have also authored and written and edited generally start with the belief of Tawheed. And that is the classical way of doing it. However, I have decided to go this route, explaining Anbiya alayhi salam with special reference to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam. And my logic was, and my logic is, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam is the one who taught us Tawheed.
Right.
So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, Anbiya alayhi salam, basically came to teach all the whole entire mankind three things. That's what we call Zururiyat Deen, essentials of Deen, that is Tawheed, Risalat, and Akhirat. So now, if we start from the Anbiya alayhi salam, and when we got our beliefs concerning Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proper, valid, in accordance with the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, then inshallah we'll be able to explain Tawheed, Akhirat very easily to the public. But when we have got our belief concerning Anbiya and Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fabricated or concocted or distorted, then to explain Tawheed, when a person cannot understand Risalat properly, how is he going to understand Tawheed? However, that inshallah sooner or later we'll be getting to Tawheed, and we will, the caller should make dua that we will explain Tawheed also very easily, simply, and exemplify it also.
Okay. Let's hope this next question, I understand it correctly and explain it properly as well, Mufti Sahab. The caller says, is there any reason why some prophets were Rasuls and Nabi, and some were just Nabi?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes a Nabi who He wants to make a Nabi.
Right.
And He makes a Rasul who He makes wants to make a Rasul. We, for our educational purposes, all the messengers sent by Allah, we call Anbiya alayhi salam. Now, amongst the Anbiya, for our study purpose, for our understanding purpose, and also to understand what we call legal evolution of the law. There is the law that has reached us via Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam has gone through an evolutionary process. When I'm using this word evolution, I'm not talking about Darwin's theory of evolution.
Yes.
I'm talking about evolution of law systematically, as from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam passing through all the Anbiya. And also that when we have, let's say if we had 124,000 Rasuls, hypothetically speaking, let us say that, because I think that's where the caller is coming from, what he's trying to understand. Now we'll have 124,000 books, and we'll have 124,000 Shariats, and we'll have 124,000 systems of abrogation. Now can you imagine what is going to happen to the legal systems, or the books, or the Shariats? But now we have got 124,000 Anbiya, 313 Rasul, and of the 313, we have only got Hazrat Musa alayhi salam with the Torah, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam with the Psalms, the Zabur, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam with the Injil, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam with the Quran. So we've got four major works. And the Quran Kareem has come as the last kitab, abrogating the previous three. So it's a system, a very simple system. Can you imagine if there were 124,000 kitabs to get abrogated? In terms, there should have been 139,999 kitabs to get abrogated.
Mm-hmm.
And for the 124,000th one to be stated as the last one.
Okay.
So can we see the mathematical difficulties, let alone the physical, well, the flow difficulties.
Yeah, the practicality of the whole
thing. Practicality of the whole thing.
Okay. Well, this is the very last question, and alhamdulillah, you know, our listeners are coming in with these questions, and I'm putting to you exactly as how they would want to say. It's a sister who says, would love to know, is a prophet given a higher status because of their sacrifice? I know in earlier series we mentioned that a Nabi is born a Nabi. But if you could explain, is a Nabi, a prophet given a higher status because purely because of his sacrifices that he's going to undertake?
No. Yeah, we must understand something. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states very clearly in the Quran Kareem, the text is clear, stating that Allah knows where he's putting his risalat, where he's putting the prophets, and where he's putting nabuwat.
Right.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses, and a person cannot strive or endeavor or undergo some spiritual exercise and then go from the status of righteous to pious to wilayat, from wilayat to nabuwat, from nabuwat to risalat. There is no such thing like that. So the sacrifices which the Nabi or Rasul undergoes, that is part and parcel of the position that he holds. But the position is given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him.
Okay. Muzab, I know I said that this was going to be the last question, but there's one more that just come in, and I think we've got 3 minutes left. And you know, you told me in the beginning that I hope I'm not cutting your time down.
Yes.
So I'm going to give you exactly your 30 minutes. Muzab, this one here, we said earlier that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was on the top of all the prophets.
Yes.
However, why was Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the seal of prophethood? Was there anything that determined why he was going to be the seal of prophethood?
Again, why Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the seal of the Nabuwwat, first of all, we must know. We from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat firmly believe that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the last Nabi.
Right.
And he's the final Nabi. He's Khatamun Nabi. There's no new Nabi after him. Next week, inshallah, I'll explain to you how Isa Alayhi Salaam is coming as not as a new Nabi, but as an old Nabi. That also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he wanted to display his manifestation, Allah wanted to, it is stated very clearly in the Hadith of Qudsi, that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I was hidden and I wanted to make myself known, and I was a hidden treasure and I wanted to manifest myself.
Right.
So when Allah wanted to manifest himself, the creation of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. Because there is a discussion, a very academic, healthy discussion, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his creation was first, but appearance last. So when we do the section on Khatme Nabuwat, we discuss that hadith there, that how Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is first, but appearance last. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to display his magnanimity, and to display his manifestation and his qualities, he created the universe, and he created the galaxy, and he created the earth, and he created Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Anbiya alayhi salam, and mankind to receive the messages and to be guided.
That's it. Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah for all the information, and inshallah next week we will go on to part 4, and yes, some questions that would have come in, we will try and we'll start off next week with Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, inshallah.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahib.
Wa alaikum assalam.